And for whatever reason, man, I'm wrong about so many things, but never the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know why it is. I don't question it. I just know that to be true. So my prediction coming up a little bit later on, I want you to come in with yours right now. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Maybe you're not sure who you're going to pick. Maybe you want to look at the postseason ahead. Joining me right now is an analyst for NHL Network. He played in the NHL 11 seasons. He helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. He was a second-round draft pick back in 1993. NHL Network is going to have the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Kevin Weeks on NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the entire postseason. He joins us right now. Kevin, it's good to have you on the show. How are you?
Romy, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate that kind intro. And a shout-out to our good mutual friend and one of our top hosts in Tony Luffman. So shout-out to T-Luff. He's always speaking super highly of you. He's singing your praises all the time. So just a shout-out to Tony as well.
Yeah, Kevin, it's great to have you on. I really mean that. And Tony Luffman, I was going to ask you about Luffman towards the end, but since you bring him up, you guys share a set together. My man is one of the all-time great energy guys. He's so positive. He's so enthusiastic. What's it like to work with him?
Awesome. We share a lot of the same vibe that way, and he's just a breath of fresh air. He's a great person. He comes from a great family as well. He brings that energy. He brings the professionalism, that level of passion. And you know, having played in the league a long time, those are the guys that you want in the locker room. That's the type of personality that I love being around in the locker room, be it on the bus, be it on the plane, at games, you name it, in practice. Those are the guys that I kind of gravitate towards. So. Tone and I have a great synergy. He's great for our team, more importantly. And I don't think you're going to find anybody that has a bad thing to say or should have a bad thing to say about Tony. And his late mom, when I had the chance to meet her, was outstanding as well. And so too is his dad. They're great people. So the apple doesn't usually fall too far from the tree. We're blessed to have him on our side.
Listen, if you got a problem with Tony Luffman, you got a problem with yourself. Kevin Weeks joining us.
Yeah,
all right, absolutely. So Kevin, the playoffs start tonight. Yep. I've been trying to make the argument, Kevin, that the NHL postseason is the best postseason, and I'm still getting a lot of pushback from people who don't understand the sport. I mean, the postseason in football, baseball, basketball, it's all a grind, but there's nothing like the NHL postseason. What does it take from a mental and physical standpoint to get through each round and then to the Stanley Cup final?
Okay, so the first put, let's qualify this. I've got friends in every league and every sport. There's a mutual admiration society, as you know. We all love and respect everybody's specific sport of choice. So I love all that. But you're absolutely right. There should be no pushback for any of you listeners out there, any of you fans out there. Get to a game. Get to a Stanley Cup playoff game. I don't care if it's a Ducks game, if it's a Sharks game, if it's a Kings game. Since you're out there in SoCal and you're in Cal in general, all three California teams are going to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is amazing, once again, to have for our league. But in saying that, there's nothing like it. I mean, the intensity, the toughness, the tenacity, the competitive spirit. And I can tell you this, man, it's so demanding mentally, psychologically, spiritually, physically. It's so demanding each and every game. Each and every regular season NHL game is demanding. You can multiply that by about 5, 6X in a Stanley Cup playoff game. The things I've seen and experienced in playoffs, in terms of injury, nature of injury, that guys are playing walking wounded, basically. And that's with no disrespect to our men and women in the military who, you know, obviously defend our freedom and ensure that. I've got a lot of family and friends in the military, so shout out to anybody in the service. But from a sports standpoint, the things that our guys play through, it's just basically unspeakable, really. So there's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you know what else, Romy, too? It's the unpredictability. That's what it is. I mean, you can get an 8 seed, go ahead like the Nashville Predators last year and go all the way to the Stanley Cup final and take Pittsburgh to 6 games. And then that same 8 seed from last year in Nashville now is the top team in the league, having won the President's Trophy, finishing first overall this year. And now all of a sudden the expectations are squarely on their shoulders. So every round, I think, is hyper-competitive, every game, every shift. And I'll put it to you this way, right? Growing up as a kid in Toronto and, you know, being a top prospect and all the rest of it, I was like, yeah, man, I know what it's all about. I know what Stanley Cup playoffs are all about. I'm watching it. I'm consuming it as a fan. I get into the minors, work my way up. I get into the NHL. When I got into the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I realized how much I didn't know. Okay? Winnipeg Jets coach Paul Maurice, who was our then coach, with the Hurricanes in 02 during our improbable run to the Cup final. I remember him telling me in his office, Breeksy, you're going to go. You're starting. You're starting this next game.
Right.
I want you to put them out there. I want them to be big. I want you to let them hang down. I want you to put them out there. Put them on the line. This is your game. Man,
incredible.
I floated. I floated out of his office. Literally, I felt like I was levitating out of his office. So finally getting to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, there's nothing like it. Nothing.
Kevin Weeks joining us. He's with the NHL Network. You can watch him once again. They've got the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay. You know, Kevin, I could talk to you about a million different things. I can go a number of different ways. But when I think about the fact that you played goalie and you played it when you played it, this is really off topic. But we've got a podcast, and I had a conversation for the first time yesterday with Clint Malarchik. Uh-huh. And, you know, his story is absolutely amazing. Do you remember what you were thinking when you saw him badly hurt on the ice in 1989?
I do. I grew up watching Clint Malarchik. In fact, I had Clint Malarchik posters because he wore Vaughn goalie equipment, and I wore Vaughn for the better part of my career as well. And I remember watching that game. I'm from Toronto. You know, it's only an hour and a half drive from my parents' house in Toronto to Buffalo. As he was playing for the Sabres then at their old arena at the auditorium in Buffalo. I mean, I remember watching it. My dad and I were watching it, and we were basically speechless. We didn't, you know, we didn't know what to do. We didn't even know what to say. We were watching it in shock. We were in a state of shock, and we weren't even in the building. So for him to have been as calm as he was, and the medical staff at the arena to be, and the first responders really to be as calm and as efficient as they were, I mean, they saved his life when he took that skate to the jugular. And I've had the chance to see him since. He was an excellent goalie coach, by the way, as well. He had a big hand in Roberto Luongo for the Panthers. He's had a big hand in his success. And I've seen him numerous times since then, since I started doing TV. And just the chance to talk to him, he's a really fascinating guy, as I'm sure you found out yesterday. A lot of depth. He's a horse. I want to say he's either an equine chiropractor or an equine dentist as well, if not both. I know he's living out in Nevada and he had a ranch. So he's very well-rounded, but certainly he was able to overcome that life-threatening, literally life-threatening situation. It's just remarkable that he's been able to overcome that.
You know, I appreciate your thoughts on that, Kevin. And we've got a lot of listeners in Buffalo. In fact, this show is nationwide, so there's a lot of hockey fans listening who know that, and we'll have more of that in the podcast. Now, the playoffs do get underway. You have the Devils at the Lightning tomorrow night. The Lightning racked up 113 points in the regular season. It was the most in the East, but when you look at the way they play defense, Kevin, right now, their consistency, do they seem to you to be as buckled down or locked in as you'd expect a team with that record to be?
You're bang on right now. That's my one, I don't want to say concern, but area of focus that I'm going to be watching with the Tampa Bay Lightning as this goes on. I think the Lightning have an outstanding franchise. Steve Yzerman has been a maestro as their GM. So too has been John Cooper, and that coaching staff have done an outstanding job. Rick Bonus, Nigel Kerwin, and their goalie coach, Franchon. But the one thing in talking to players on that team and talking to the staff members is that's what Coach Cooper is telling them. Guys, we got to defend. Guys, we got to defend. We know we can score. We know we can fill the net. But if we want to win games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and ultimately we want to be the first of 16 wins and host that big silver mug, we've got to defend, and we've got to do it consistently, shift to shift, game to game, because Stanley Cup playoffs, as I tell Tony all the time, the rink shrinks, not physically, but regular dimensions of the rink are 200 by 85, 200 long by 85 wide. Come Stanley Cup playoffs, it feels like it's 150 by 50. It gets tight. It gets packed. It's difficult. You hear coaches talk about time and space. Well, there's less time and space to be able to make plays. So with all that being said, you might not be able to score your way, and you're highly unlikely to score your way to winning a Stanley Cup. You've got to defend your way to give yourself a chance to win the Stanley Cup. That's something with Tampa that's been very inconsistent this season at different times, albeit they've had a tremendous season. Their captain, Steve Stamkos, and Kucherov have had outstanding years, as has their young goalie, Vasilevskiy, for the first three quarters of the season. But if they don't buckle down, don't be surprised if the Devils don't give them a run. And I think the Devils will give them a run anyways. John Hines has done an outstanding job, and Ray Shiro, with the Devils just literally up Route 3 and Route 21 from our NHL Network studios in our house here in Jersey. But I'm curious to see, Roman. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm curious to see Tampa Bay's commitment to defending. If they commit to defending, I think they win this series in six games, maybe even seven, if they commit to defending. If they don't be surprised if Jersey could pull off an upset.
Kevin Weeks joining us, retired NHL goalie and an analyst with the NHL Network. Hey, Kevin, if the toughest thing in all sports is to win a Stanley Cup, then maybe the next toughest thing, or maybe even tougher, is to defend a Stanley Cup. You've got the two-time defending champs in Pittsburgh. How do the Penguins look to you right now?
The Penguins are clicking. They're clicking. They're firing offensively. I spoke to Jimmy Rutherford, their GM. He told me openly about their quest for a three-peat. It's a unique situation. They're the first team since the Detroit Red Wings 97-98 to repeat. So they're looking at three-peat. It'll be the first team since the Islanders and the Islanders dynasty in the 80s. So they've got their sights set on that. They certainly have the offensive personnel. We know that already. Sidney Crosby, of course, leads the team. But Evgeny Malkin and my man Phil Kessel, who gets no love, who's been amazing. All two of those guys, anyways, will be future Hall of Famers. I really think Crosby, obviously, for obvious reasons. Malkin as well, but Phil Kessel, his track, he's got the chance to be a Hall of Famer as well, and those guys can sting you, and they all play apart from each other, Romy. That's the thing. So it's not as though they got to be on the ice at the same time on five at even strength. Those guys play independently of each other, and they maul you offensively. Then you throw those guys on the power play, and it's good night nurse. So I love the way that they're playing offensively. My one worry with Pittsburgh, and it's a big worry, our Mike Ruff and I were talking about this the other day. You don't have that ace in the hole in Marc-Andre Fleury behind Matt Murray.
Right.
This isn't anything to do with Matt Murray. I've been a big Matt Murray guy since he was playing for Sault Ste. Marie in the OHL. I think Matt Murray, what he's done is unprecedented, winning two Stanley Cups in his, you know, his rookie years. But the bigger challenge is, heaven forbid, something goes wrong with him, or he goes down by way of injury, then what? That's a huge question mark in Pittsburgh for me. But I love the way they're playing offensively. I think this sets up to be a great series. The Battle of the Keystone State, Romy. The Battle of the Keystone State. We know Pennsylvania is a great sports state. And, of course, two great sports cities in Philly and Pittsburgh. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give the Flyers their due, what they've been able to accomplish this year. And their captain, Claude Giroux, along with Taylor Hall, from the Devils, and Andre Kopitar, I would say, and Nate McKinnon. Those guys are my Hart Trophy candidates right now for NHL MVP. So I think the Flyers are going to put up a good fight in this series, and Pittsburgh better not take them lightly, because the Flyers are clicking too, and their offense is more multidimensional than people have given it credit for in the past.
You just are not going to get better analysis than this. Kevin, before I let you go, I got to ask you about the tragedy involving the Humboldt Broncos. And I bring this up because, and I mentioned this, and you can speak to this as well as anybody. I mean, literally everybody in that league, virtually everybody in that league has been on that bus. I mean, you guys, as juniors, come up and you take those road trips, you ride those buses, you know. And it's been amazing the way the hockey community has responded, really the sporting community overall. What was your reaction and what are your thoughts?
Man, I'm glad that you afforded me the opportunity to talk about it. It's so tragic. It's horrific. It really is. You know, I remember being a young player growing up and just aspiring to get on a bus. And then, you know, our youth hockey team at times, different tournaments, the world-famous Quebec Pee Wee Tournament as 13-year-olds. That was the first time we were on a bus for a tournament. And, you know, our parents are on the bus. We're all on it. We felt like we were in the NHL. At 13-year-olds, that's when it started. And then for some other tournaments, depending on proximity from Toronto, where I grew up, we'd take buses as well. And then when I got to Tier 2 Junior playing for St. Mike's Buzzers, and then the OHL playing in Owen Sound in Ottawa, I mean, we'd be going up and down Highway 401 from Ottawa at one end, the eastern end, all the way down to Windsor at the far end, which would lead us into Detroit. And, I mean, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. on the bus. Same thing when I was in the minors, in the American League, in the old IHL. Romy, I mean, a lot of my best memories, a lot of my fondest memories, my most impactful memories are those times on the bus and those times in the car with my parents going to tournaments. You know, those are lifelong bonds. And, you know, be it stopping at, you know, a truck stop and getting chicken fingers and fries, you know, stopping at Denny's when you're in the minors, the bus pull up, or Golden Corral, or whatever it is, Big Boy, and just those bonds, talking, watching movies together. Remember, it was back in the day, it was Blockbuster. You know this. Hey, boys, we got to make sure we get our movies right before we get on the road. What do we got? Who's going to Blockbuster? Hey, get Beverly Hills Cop. Hey, get this, get whatever. And it's so much time that's spent. It's such a big part of the fabric of our game. But more importantly, it's the human connection. That's what it is, right? It's talking to guys, hey, man, my mom's afflicted by this, or my younger sister just got into college or university or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's really difficult to quantify accurately how impactful the bus rides are, but it's a big part of our fabric. Even at the NHL level, man, sometimes, you know, I'm playing for the Rangers here up the street in New York or across the Hudson, and we're going to Philly, and we're busing to Philly. You know, it could have happened to anybody, and my heart goes out to the players, the families, the coaches, the staff, the fans, the entire Humboldt community. They're not in this alone. You know, fortunately, the hockey community is collectively strong, and you know, we walk with them in this, we mourn with them in this, we grieve with them in this, we support them in this, and it will continue to have to be, and has been, an outstanding collective effort of the greater hockey family, and it will continue to be that. And I can tell you, I talk to my mom and dad almost every day, and I spoke to them 2 days ago specifically after leaving the studio, and I could tell they were shaken up as I was. And at times, I've even had some difficulty sleeping. I talked to a lot of guys about it. We had the rookie sensation, Matthew Barzal from the Islanders in yesterday, and second-year impressive player Anthony Beauvillier. They were in our NHL Network studios, and we were talking about it off camera. It's really affected each and every one of us, man. So, as I said, shout out to all the great sports fans, all the great hockey fans. I know that there have been donations on their GoFundMe page from north of 60 countries around the world. And Romy, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a proud Bajan. My parents are from Barbados. I grew up in Canada, and I lived in the U.S. for a long time, so I'm fortunate to have those three great countries. Family that we have back in Barbados was talking to us about that tragedy. So it really has it's gotten global attention, but more importantly, it's gotten a lot of global support. And I think that's really the essence of what makes hockey the great sport that it is. And when you talked about it off the top, about how great and compelling the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs can be, that's what it's rooted in. Because it's rooted in family, it's rooted in community, and that's part of the connective tissue that makes our sport so great.
Beautifully stated. Kevin Weeks, my guest, an NHL Network analyst. He played 11 years in the NHL, and the NHL Network is going to have the national telecast of Game 1 featuring New Jersey at Tampa Bay tomorrow, once again, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Kevin on NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the playoffs. Kevin, my man, you are doing amazing work. You are doing amazing work. It is so good to have you on this show.
Thank you, man. Coming from you, I grew up watching you, so... Thank you so much.
You are doing exceptional work, and it is so good to have you on the show. Let's be sure we do it again soon, Kevin. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Romy. I appreciate that. And shout out to all you NHL fans that watch us on the NHL Network, too. We love you. We appreciate you.
My man, you got it, Kevin. Great job. Really well done. Kevin Weeks, that was an exceptional conversation. An exceptional conversation. And I don't know that I've heard anybody speak as eloquently about that tragedy as he just did.